Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in and we hope that you listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on the program, maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can send me an email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Let's ask the question of what is faith. You know, some think that faith is opposed to reason. They think that faith has nothing to do with facts. Some think that faith is just a blind acceptance and that facts have nothing to do with it. But the basic idea of faith is trust. We believe in God, but we believe God because we trust Him. We show our trust by keeping His commandments. And so in that way, we show our faith. See, faith is more than just believing something. I can believe something and yet not be all that sure about it. I believe that the sun is 93 million miles away from Earth because that's what I was taught when I went to school. But you know, I'm really not sure. And it really wouldn't surprise me if figures come out tomorrow that we are either not as far as we thought or maybe we're even further away from the sun. But to really believe something, we must first of all understand what we claim to believe. That is, I must have some understanding of who God is in order for me to have faith to put my trust in Him. And that's what we see Paul doing in Acts 17 when he was in the city of Athens. And it was a city that was given totally to idolatry. And that for fear of leaving out one god, they had erected a statue or a shrine and labeled it to the unknown god. So what Paul does in Acts 17 is he tries to explain to them this unknown god so that with understanding, they too could have faith and put their trust in him. And to really believe something, we must be ready to act according to our belief. See, faith and obedience are tied together. Jesus does that in Matthew 7, verse 21, when he says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but it's he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." For people to say, "Lord, Lord," it's obvious that they believe. But Jesus said it's not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," it's also those that will obey, do the will of my Father. And then James says in James 2 and verse 24, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." So to really believe something, we must also have reason for what we believe. See, faith is more than just a feeling. Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So in order to have a reason for what we believe, it's more than just a feeling. It's more than just what mom and dad and family have always believed. That's not Bible faith. Turn with me to Hebrews 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." See, faith stands under, that simply means it's the foundation of hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. That is, faith has conviction concerning unseen things. So the question is, what is it that gives us conviction? How can we have faith in things that we haven't seen? Well, when we drop on down to Hebrews 11, we see in verse 6 that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And He says two things that we must do. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must first believe that He is, and second, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we see then that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence, and there is ample evidence. In Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. What is that? That's evidence. We may not recognize it as evidence, but that's the failure on our part. It is evidence. Whether we want to accept it as evidence or not, there is clear, plain, visible evidence of God. And in Romans 1, we see the statement was made there, as the writer says, and if you will, turn with me and we'll look at Romans 1, beginning there, reading at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So we see then that they are without excuse, and we today are without excuse, if we do not look and see at these things that are clearly shown unto us. The very creation of the world that we see is so visible, and yet it gives evidence of the invisible attributes of God. And we know that God rewards those that, as Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, diligently seek Him. See, the Bible is testimony to the faithfulness of God. Where do we go anywhere in the Scriptures and find where God made a promise and didn't keep it? There's no place that we can go in any of the Scriptures and find that to be the case. So our faith in the fact that God rewards is, again, based upon evidence of the faithfulness of God. In John chapter 20, notice in verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said unto them, unless I see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. See, again, Bible faith is based upon evidence. In verse 25, Thomas is a whole lot like a lot of people today. It's in verse 29 that after being allowed to put his finger in and see the prints and in the side to see where the sword had pierced him, Jesus made the statement to Thomas in verse 29, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus states that one can believe without seeing. And the basis for believing without seeing is in verse 30 and 31 of John 20. Truly, Jesus did many other things. Did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. So see, we understand that we can believe without seeing. We are expected to believe in Christ to be the Son of God blindly? No, based on the evidence that Jesus presented while he was here on this earth. What was his evidence? The miracles, the signs, the wonders that Jesus performed. And yet still, somebody may say, well, you know, we've not seen them firsthand. How can they be proven? Well, how do we know that George Washington was the first president of the United States? How do we know that Columbus sailed to the New World? It's based upon historical evidence, isn't it? In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. But yet, again, don't let people get the idea or tell you that the faith that we have as Christian is a blind faith. No, it's faith that's based upon evidence. We find in 1 John, in chapter 1, the statement is made. Notice it says that we have eyewitness accounts of his resurrection. Peter made that statement. In 2 Peter, turn with me and we'll look at chapter 1 and read verse 16. Peter says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables, when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Friends, there's no better testimony to the truthfulness of something than eyewitness testimony. So let us understand that faith is something that is reasonable. Faith is rational. Now, we know that there are extremes of this. There are non-intellectual approaches, and that is that they just simply ignore all reason. They're ruled solely by their emotions. Whatever feels good at the time, that's what justifies what they do. And in many instances, in the case of religious folks, whatever it is they do, whatever it is they say, and whatever it is they preach sometimes, they want to attribute it to the Holy Spirit. But friends, faith depends upon that evidence. So the one extreme is that we just simply have no intellectual approach to it. We ignore all reason. And then the other is that we rely solely on rationality. That is, we try to reason everything out from a human perspective. But you know, Proverbs 14 and verse 12 said, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself, for it's not in man that walks to direct his own step. So to depend solely on my own reasoning, we're going to find ourselves rejecting what the Scriptures teach. We're going to say, well, that don't make sense to me. Why did Jesus shed his blood for me to have the remission of sins? Well, that don't make sense to me. Why do we have to be baptized in order to contact the blood? Well, that don't make sense to me. See, we must have a balanced approach. Our minds must dwell on God's Word, thinking and reasoning from the Scriptures. Because, friends, the Bible is the final standard. We see your time is gone. We appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day. And now, we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.